Miller Program. From the Windows, Doors, and More Studio, your locally owned and operated kitchen and bath center on WoWo, 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Depend on it.
Welcome back. We continue our Monday discussion. A gentleman who is normally with us on Thursday, but this week I will be out having a procedure done. My last day this week is tomorrow, so we'll have Congressman Banks here with us this afternoon. Congressman Jim Banks, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, Pat. Good to be with you.
I hope everything with Amanda and the girls and you was a terrific Mother's Day yesterday.
I did everything I could to go over the top, as you know, Pat. I used to tell my wife, "You're not my mom," so it's Mother's Day. I didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, how long did that last?
It didn't last very long. And now the girls and I, we do everything we can to make sure Amanda feels appreciated, because she is appreciated. We can't do what we do without her, and she is super mom in every way in our house.
Well, your wife is a terrific woman, and as she proved it by even covering for you a little bit when you were overseas and you were deployed. Covered some of your work at the time down at the State House, did an excellent job, continued the conservatism we had appreciated out of you. She is great with those three daughters, and she is certainly a large part of the success of any campaign you've had and, of course, any work that you've done in office. So I'm glad, as at our house, you were able to show her due honor and take good care of her. And so now we wait for Father's Day. Here's the difference, Jim. Yesterday, I got to buy the dinner for me and Kim, for Kim's mom and dad, and for our daughters. I had the dinner bought, and then our daughters picked it up, and it was brought to the house, and everybody ate, and it was not cheap, but it was fun, it was great and good.
Uh-huh.
On Father's Day, I'll get to buy the dinner for me and for Kim, for her parents, for the girls. Some things just don't change. Let's talk a little bit. HR1, which is something that we've had kicked around and bandied about for quite a while now. The markup on that bill, is the markup on that bill tomorrow in the Senate? And if it is, what does a markup look like? What's the procedure there?
Yeah, unfortunately, this disastrous and dangerous bill has already passed out of the House. So the markup that will occur in the Senate means that it will go through all of the relevant committees and there will be opportunities to amend it. So we'll see, how serious the Democrats are about advancing it. Do they take out D.C. statehood out of the bill? Do they take some of the more dangerous parts of the bill out? The whole thing is dangerous, but it'll go through an amendment process. So what's really scary about this, Pat, is that 2 years ago, H.R. 1 passed out of the House, and it was dead on arrival in the Senate. And the fact that this is moving through a committee process now, through a markup, should really scare each and every American, whether you're on the right or the left, because what this bill does is it nationalizes and federalizes our election process, taking it away from states and your local county clerk and putting the federal government in charge of elections, moving to all mail-in ballots and all of the catastrophes that happened in this last election in 2020. We would nationalize that. Even, we read about the situations in Georgia and Pennsylvania and in other states, but by doing that, we would force Indiana to go to all mail-in ballots.
Right.
On top of a lot of other things that are dangerous about this bill.
It does nothing to protect us from a lot of things that were very suspect in the last election, probably in the congressional elections before it, and maybe even back to 2016. In fact, Congressman, it almost emboldens the position that with all the mail-ins and all the absentees and all this, and you can't require this, and you certainly don't want to ask anybody for ID, it takes the fact that maybe we've had a touch of lack of integrity in our voting. This almost puts it on a fast train to nowhere.
Yes, this makes it so much worse than anything that we've seen before. If this bill would pass, what it would do to destroy public confidence in the underpinning of our democratic form of government by diminishing the trust in our elections, Pat, is a dangerous path to go down. We already see the public polling that shows that almost half of Americans don't trust elections after the last election.
Correct.
This bill would send us down a spiral that would greatly diminish the trust that the public has. That's why I believe we have a moral duty in Congress to restore confidence and trust in our elections. That's why I introduced the Save Democracy Act several weeks ago and have several dozen members, Republican members in the House who have co-sponsored it. That's our attempt to restore confidence. I got to tell you, I was shocked and disappointed at what I saw coming out of the State House in Indianapolis when Eli Lilly testified against a bill to strengthen voter identification laws in the state of Indiana, and it died because of it. That really disappointed me. My biggest disappointment coming out of this this recent state legislative session at the State House in Indiana. But at the federal level, I'm doing my part. The Save Democracy Act, which would strengthen voter identification laws in federal elections, that's an appropriate step forward. But you do have a lot of states. You've seen Governor DeSantis standing tall, as he often has, in Florida, passing tougher voter ID laws. You saw Governor Kemp in Georgia, who I've been in touch with, Pat, who showed real courage when Coca-Cola and Delta and Major League Baseball came out against him, moved the All-Star game out of Atlanta. Which was asinine and hypocritical for Major League Baseball when Colorado has tougher voter identification laws than Georgia did, but they politicized all of this there, too. But let me tell you, here's what I've learned about voter identification laws, Pat. They're very popular. Most Republicans support voter identification laws. Most Democrats support voter identification laws.
Right.
The left says voter ID is racist. Most African Americans in this country support voter identification laws.
Yeah. Yeah, which is just another case that if you can have enough of the big network cameras honed in on you and you can spit out your venom over and over and over, people will start to believe it.
Yes. It's incredible that the media will amplify this message over and over again from the left. I mean, in Georgia, you heard that these voter identification laws were Jim Crow 2.0, and the media repeated it over and over again.
Yep.
When the fact is that the public overwhelmingly in Georgia supported the common sense laws there to strengthen voter identification for mail-in ballots. That's an important step forward to restore trust in our elections, and I support it 110%.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me move on to something else. We appreciate Congressman Banks making another day in the week available for us, as I will not be here Thursday. But another thing that has been talked about over the last week or so, Congressman, everything is infrastructure, from what I'm understanding now. So when they come out with this infrastructure bill and this enhancement, everything is infrastructure. It used to be roads, bridges, railroads, airports, and now it's, you know, baby wipes and probably the Oscar ceremonies. Everything is infrastructure. Well, if everything is infrastructure, then how is it that we didn't take care of a pipeline where 45% of all the fuel consumed on the East Coast was disrupted on Friday, which will do nothing but drive up the cost of fuel further all across the country?
Yeah, this was a priority under the Trump administration to crack down on cyber attacks. It's been anything but a priority for the Biden administration. This attack on Friday on the Colonial Pipeline was the third major cyber attack on critical infrastructure since Joe Biden has been president. We haven't heard a pin drop out of the Biden administration about what they're going to do about it. Now, this is important because it disrupts 45% of all of the fuel that's consumed on the East Coast. So you can imagine how disruptive that is to anyone who lives there, a cyber attack to that degree. But here's the takeaway, Pat. The infrastructure bill where everything is infrastructure, this is the only thing that's not included in the bill. There's not a single dollar in the Biden so-called infrastructure bill that does anything to combat cyber attacks on critical infrastructure.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you how out of touch this administration is, and that the so-called infrastructure bill really has nothing to do with that at all.
But again, if Jim Psaki says something in the press room and on his way to the helicopter, if President Biden mutters something that they think they understand what he's saying, if we get it on camera enough, it becomes the law and the rule of the day. And nobody will question it because, well, it is what it is. Here's what troubles me the most, Congressman, and I'm going to be very candid. What troubles me the most isn't even really everything that politicians and the press say now. It's because we've gotten so conditioned to having things force-fed to us like baby food that now the American people accept it without any filter at all, because just because somebody said it, that makes it so. We have lost the ability to listen to facts and to speeches and to positions and policies and make up our own minds in what's right or wrong. If your party says it, then it's right. If the other party says it, then it's wrong. That will be the ruination of us within a decade.
Well, I hope not. I mean, I find, Pat, that your listeners, obviously they trust you. Many of my supporters and voters trust me. They're looking for independent news sources that they can trust. They've learned over time that they can't trust the left-wing mainstream media outlets, and they're more skeptical of what they read and see and hear on the news than they ever have been before. Hopefully this is a pendulum shift, and we get back to a place where new news outlets that we can trust can arise again and provide us with information in a way that is provided to us different than what we've seen here in the recent decade.
Yeah, well, listen, for your time today, Congressman, thanks so much. Happy day after Mother's Day to Amanda, who's been an enormous help to you and has served the people of Indiana, to those three beautiful daughters of yours, and to a dad who's kind of okay, too. But our best to you. Have a great week. My procedure will go well on Wednesday, I'm absolutely sure. So next week, we'll be back at our normal Thursday time, and we'll chew it up and spit it out, okay?
Thank you, Pat. We'll be praying for you. Have a good week.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.